Tonight we're going to discuss the halacha and some of the controversy behind the popular tefillah, which is said in almost all communities. We'll talk about why some communities don't say it, but we'll try to first talk about some halachic ramifications that come out, and then Blin Eder, if this time, we'll discuss some of the controversy behind it. It's a very, very interesting piece of Tehillim, L'davar Hashem Ayri, Kapitel Chav Zayin. If one were to look at it on a very simple level, it has absolutely no connection whatsoever to this time of the year. A very beautiful piece, a very nice piece, but seems to have very little, if almost no connection to this time of the year, yet it became a widely accepted custom in most communities to recite it. So the question is why, and where exactly did this minhag come from? So, like all good minhagim pertaining to this time of the year, you have to assume it probably originated, or should be found, at least in the Sefer Mat Ephraim, written by Ephraim Zalman Margolis. Now, just to note, Ephraim Zalman Margolis died in 1828, but his Sefer Mat Ephraim was not printed until 1834. So, as far as we have it in our limited database of knowledge, the earliest source for this is his Mat Ephraim, which is written in 1830, came out in 1834. You're not going to find this halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's not in Ramah. It's not in Beis Yosef. It's not in Rishonim, as far as I know. So the earliest source that we have is the Mat Ephraim's writing, which takes us to 1834, which means before 1834, no one said L'davar Hashem Ayri. This was a new thing, or, you know, not even 200 years old. That's a little hard to believe. We have to assume that it probably dated a little earlier. So, Blin Eder tonight, we'll try to tackle that issue, and we'll deal with some shilas that come up with this kapitel tehillim. So, the first of the sources is the Mat Ephraim, where he brings down the minhag, and some interesting things over here. He writes, Na'igim b'din ha'seilu, the custom in our community, at least where Mat Ephraim lived, was Rosh Chodesh, Elul v'Eilech ad Yom Kippur, from Rosh Chodesh until Yom Kippur. To say at the conclusion of davening, Mizmor Chav Zayin B'Tehillim, Dav Hashem Ayri Yishi, Boikiv Erev, morning and evening. V'Oimim Acher of Kaddish Yosem, and then after that we have a Kaddish. V'Anu Noigim, he says, but we, meaning me, says the Mat Ephraim, Noigil Omer at Shmini Atzeres Ad B'Chol. We go up to Shmini Atzeres, and including Shmini Atzeres. So there was a minhag to go till Yom Kippur. The Mat Ephraim says we go all the way till Shmini Atzeres. We'll see later tonight there's a minhag in Shulchan Aruch Harav that only up to Hashanah Rabbah. Says the Mat Ephraim, "V'gam noigel oimim b'choyim shesh be'musaf." What happens if it's musaf? Then you say it achar gemar tefil shachris. You still say it before shachris. Koydim ein kemoichel before they take out the sefer Torah. Ube'erev. What does it mean? Nighttime. Says the Mat Ephraim, "Oimim oiser achar tefilas mincha." We say it after mincha, which today became what we call nusach svard. Was to follow this opinion of the Mat Ephraim to say it after mincha. The year elite, says the Mat Ephraim, those places who say it at the end of davening, even though he just said on a day with his musaf, you should really say it after shachris, not after musaf. But he says, if you're going to do it after musaf, says the Mat Ephraim, then, in such a scenario, Baruch Nafshi should go before the Dovid Hashem Ayri. Let's say you have it after Shachris. Now you have another dilemma. So he says, Baruch Hinavshi versus L'David, Baruch Hinavshi wins. What about us? Do we say the Yom first, or do we say L'David first? Writes the Mat Ephraim, why? Because it is more frequent. And Baruch Hinavshi is more frequent. We'll see in a minute, if Yaakov Kamenetsky, then Mesli Yaakov asks, it's not true. If you crunch the numbers, you only say Baruch Hinavshi at best either 12 times or 18. The Davar Hashem Ayri is much more. So he asks, why is it called Tadda? We'll see in a second. But I want to get to the end of this. He writes, Ubamakim she'ein sham rak ovel echad, if there's only one ovel, yeishloim ha'shnei ha'mizmoirim Baruch Hinavshi v'arviyishi b'li hafsik kaddish. He says in Rosh Chodesh, you should say Baruch Hinavshi and Ladavu with no interruption, no kaddish in between. Why? Shleil ha'bas be'kaddish, you don't want to have too much kaddish. But when it comes to a regular day, when you come to a, you have a leinu, the yoim, then the David says the Mat Ephraim, yesh lahafzik b'amir's kaddish. There should bedafka be an interruption of a kaddish between the yoim and the David. B'chol inyan. Why? Because we want to show a distinction. That really, the David Hashem Ayri is not the Yom. The Yom is over and we're saying kaddish. Now we're going to have a kapitel called the David Hashem Ayri. And it's interesting, a lot of shuls don't do this. They don't have this. They want to go straight through. So someone tied it to me today. Maybe the shofar is the break. The shofar is the interruption that we need to show the distinction. We'll see later that Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky also feels that this is not the common custom today, but it's not the way the Mat Ephraim describes the minhag. The way he describes the minhag is that there should be bedafka kaddish between the yoim and the dov. If you look in...
Does one or two or is it just...
Right, he's talking about how many people, you know, how many kaddish we can get away with, I guess.
No, it's a... That's right.
So you only have so much to go around. You don't want to cut back. If you look in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which again, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was printed in the mid-1800s. So again, we're only talking, middle of the 1800s was the first time there's what we'll call standard literature about this. He also writes this minhag. It's also common in our customs. And then he adds a little bit of a Tosefos explanation. It's based on a medrash in Tehillim. Hashem Oiri b'Rosh Hashanah v'Yishiv Yom Kippurim ki Yitzpineyu b'Suka Remez l'Sukkos. So then he's quoting a medrash. Now the truth is, if you look in the medrash, it's not exactly the way it's quoted. For example, if you look at number 4 in Elif L'chol Mater, another sefer written by the Mater Ephraim, there he also says, "What's pshat on this minhag? V'yisoid haminhag al pi medrash shachar toiv." This minhag is based on the medrash that says, "Oyri is Rosh Hashanah, Yishi is Yom Kippur, v'yachakach ki yitzpineinu b'suka." Shehu remez l'sukkos. Now, if you look in Source 5 tells us that that's not our full medrash. The medrash does not say ki yitzpineinu b'suka zu sukkos. That was the addition of both the Mat Ephraim and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The medrash itself, if you look it up in Medrash HaChatoiv, a medrash at the helm, you'll see it's oyizu Rosh Hashanah, Yishu Yom Kippur. That's the end of the medrash. Either way, there's many pshatim in the medrash, what Ayri V'Yishi means. This is one of the pshatim. So this is the one pshat we stick with, and because of this one pshat, that's why all of us say this Kapitel Tehillim seems to be somewhat of a bit of a difficult sell. If you look at number 3, the Mishnah Berura basically cuts and pastes almost word for word from the Mat Ephraim, which is why everyone thinks that this minhag must be, 500 years old, because it's brought down by the Mishnah Berura. It must have been from the times of the Rishonim, but it is not, as far as we know. If you look at number 6, Emes Liakov, Yaakov Kamenetsky is bothered with the kash we mentioned earlier. Why exactly is Baruch Hinavshi precedent if it's not more frequent? It's not Tadir. So Yaakov asks, Avshe be'emes, oyim l'dovid yoisip amayim mi Baruch Hinavshi. We say Baruch Hinavshi less frequent than Ladavid. If you count it all the times you say Ladavid, the numbers are much higher than Barchin Avshi. If you're going to follow the rule of Tadik Kaidem, Barchin Avshi should lose. So Ibn Yaakov says, Avalatamu, he wants to disagree, and he says, no, the Pshaz Mishum de Barchin Avshi, who are Yoim Shalvish Chaydish. The longness is that on Rosh Chodesh, the Yoim becomes Baruch Hinavshi, which is why the Goin only said one, either the Yoim or Baruch Hinavshi. He didn't say both, because each day has a Yoim. So on a regular Tuesday, the Yoim is the Yoim Shlishi. On a day of Rosh Chodesh, Baruch Hinavshi becomes the Yoim. So says Ibn Yaakov, Mashe'in Kledavah, ain't a Yoim Shal Chodesh El. It's not the Shira Shal Yoim. Says Rabbi Yaakov, that's goof why the Mat Ephraim was very makbid on this hefzik between the Yoim L'David. It's not. It's a whole different Siba HaMechayev. Meaning Baruch Hinavshi is the Yoim of the day. The Yoim always wins. End of story. Not because of frequency, because that's the Yoim of the day. I would have argued maybe in Lomnus, maybe it could be Miyasha, that Mat Ephraim will tell you it's not about numbers, it's about the reason. There's only one reason to say the Davar Hashemari, that's called Chodesh El. That's one reason. Rosh Chodesh is a 12-month occurrence, meaning it happens 12 times a year. Look at the Siba. What's the Siba for the Amir? Not how often do you say it. This is obviously a more complex Shaila whenever dealing with Tadir V'Shein the Tadir, but Yesh Lodin, you can make such an argument. In any case, we saw in Mat Ephraim that he was very clear that you should have a Kaddish between the Yoim and the David. Why don't we do that? So if you look at number 7, the Sefer Kovetz Halachos, written by this Talmud of Shmuel Kamenetsky, he writes, in the footnote, he writes, Kasev Averhetiv, Kasher Toiv Lamait Bebrachus, Kach Toiv Lamait Bekaddishim. There's a Hakpada to be Mait Bekaddishim. If you look in Aruch HaShulchan, he also discusses this idea that there's no Chiyuv to have 100 Kaddishim at the end of David. V'chein b'tshuvas d'var Shmuel karet tagar alze shenesof masar bnei yodav ayim kama kaddishim apiski teira a mishnah gemara. People just get it together. Let's just say a kaddish. Huva b'mishnah beru v'ayim b'mayiv Rabbi Shlita. He's referring to Shmuel Kamenetsky. The mitamze yesh lahas mechtvilo d'var Shemayiv the shirshal yoyim v'loyim hakaddish achakach. Because of this idea of being b'mayit b'kaddishim, we bedavka don't interrupt it with a kaddish. V'loy chashino l'mashikasa b'mat Ephraim, and we're not worried about what the Mat Ephraim writes. Doesn't say why not. The Mat Ephraim was also worried about being marbe b'kaddish. That's why he said on Jewish Chodesh, you should have one less kaddish. But the Mat Ephraim had a bigger concern. His concern was, we don't want people thinking that Davar Hashem is a chelik of the yom. That he doesn't answer, but that's true. I think he's 100% right. Go to any shul today, almost every shul today will not have a kaddish between the David and the yom, which is clearly against the way the Mat Ephraim set it up. So you'll tell me, oh, it's because we want to be my b'kaddish. Okay, the Mat Ephraim knew that also. Yet he still felt this chashash of shulayin nira, shagam ayvi. Another Shaila that Ephraim Greenblatt discusses in Yitshuvim, Rivei Ephraim, he says, I understand that you have the Yoim before the David because of the principle of Tadav Hashem to Tadav. He asks a little bit of a Kasha, Sfiras Oimer. He says, if that's the rule, why do you count the Sfiras Oimer before Aleinu? Why don't we apply the same rule, Tadav Hashem to Tadav, and count Sfira after Aleinu? Why do we count Sfira before Aleinu? So he writes away in the Sefer Rivei Ephraim, he says, Abel Fizet Tzorechin, Madua B'Sfira Soimer, Soifim Lefnei Aleinu V'Lai Acher Aleinu. Why by Sfira Soimer don't we work with Tadir? Ulu Chayri Hi Aron Nechayna, he thought this was a good Aron. V'Yididi Agoin, I'm not sure who this is, Rota Shlita, Tainas, D'Yesh Kpedus L'Sharas Nusach HaTfila. B'Emes, you're right. We don't like to change around the orders of things. We like there to be an order. The Yoim, Aleinu, the Yoim, and then whatever you want to do afterwards. So why Sfira Soimer do we interrupt the davening with Sfira Soimer? Because Sfira Soimer is a mitzvah deraisa, maybe bizman hazeh, as we spoke about many times here. Shegi is mana, because now already it's the time to count. Now you have a mitzvah in front of you. You have a mitzvah in front of you. You got to jump to do the mitzvah. As he quotes the Mishnah Berurah, therefore he says, "Ulechem miyad achat tefila soifim oinu matam tamimis." This is also the cheshbon of tamimis. Avol mizma ledavar Hashem ayir shenagul oimer dinei achag gemar tefila u'pasha. He says, but the ledavar Hashem ayir is not a mitzvah. It's a minhag. No, that goes at the end of the davening. We push it to the back, and we don't say that until davening is over. Why are there some people that have a minhag to say it by mincha, and some who say it by ma'ariv? So if you look in the sefer tefila kol chasoi, he tied it as a simple reason. It is because of u'ulai mishum shloi loimer tehillim balayla. There's a whole discussion about saying tehillim at night, saying psukim of Torah by night. It's funny. People think that that's like, one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is you're not allowed to say chumash benight. The whole thing comes from a Berhetiv who quotes the Zohar. I'm not belittling either of those two Maramakarimis, but it's the Mishnah Berurah. If you look up the Mishnah Berurah over there, he doesn't seem to be overly concerned with this whole chashash of saying tehillim at night, but it's a discussion, and therefore many people say, why should we say kapitel tehillim at night? Let's just circumvent the whole problem. We'll say it by mincha. If you look at number 10 over here.
There's people who are like that, not say the Kapitel in Kaddish Levana.
Which Kapitel in Kaddish Levana? I mean, those psukim that we recite over there.
No, but there are Tehillim in
Right, so that is going to be that sometimes that was the time to say it. I guess you don't have too much choice. I guess this is something that was optional. This you don't have to say it. I guess those psukim are more, that's part of the mahos of the mitzvah of Kaddish Levana, and that's what we have to do it. Mizmal David, yeah, that's the same Shaila, right? Why do we say that Kapitel Tehillim, which some people don't? There's controversy about it. And that's really Bakasha. That's really Bakasha's Rechum. Yeah, I guess sometimes it is the proper time. So the Sefer over here, I found the Sefer of Mara HaBezek. It's an interesting Sefer. He got a Shaila from Mexico City. He gets these Shailas from all over the world. I'm not sure who the Mechaber is. So he was asked from Mexico City, they sent him the following Shaila. They have a shul. And in that shul, Mexico City, they all say, L'davar Hashem Ayri by Mincha. And this person felt it's not correct. He thought we should switch it back to Ma'ariv. So he sent the Shaila, should we switch up the minhag? So in the middle of the tshuva, he goes back and forth. But what I want is he comes up with a svar, which I don't really understand, where he writes it this. V'nit in the hazbe minhag zeh. He wants to be mazbe the minhag. Bekach shebiroiv ha'kihilo z'nog l'espal arvis miyarach ha'mincha. It says, most shuls, they daven mincha ma'ariv back to back. Biboy joim. While it was still daytime. He wants to say, the reason why they don't say that's mincha, because there was never any time to sneak it in. It was always quickly, mincha ma'ariv right away. There. No one wanted to wait. They wanted to go straight to ma'ariv. So there was never time for it. So that's why the minute was to say it at ma'ariv. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. Maybe. It seems strange to me that there was no time to slip in one ledavar Hashem ma'ariv. But that's what he wants to tell you. That the reason why they said it at ma'ariv and not after mincha was because people used to daven mincha ma'ariv back to back, no time in between. And that's why he got pushed to ma'ariv. I'm not sure if that's the standard pshat, but that's what he wants to suggest. So the big shayla that comes up, and I was asked the shayla already twice this week by a very different talmidim, is what happens if you daven in a nusach sfad minyan, but you're a nusach ashkenaz fellow? Are you mechuyev to follow the minhag hamakom? Should you do whatever you want? Well, what's the proper protocol? Right. So we're going to get to the Bar Moshe's tshuva, yeah. So if you look over here, the Sefer...
Why would it hurt? It's an extra...
We're going to get to that also, probably. So I found the Sefer Oz Nidbru, not the Oz Nidbru that we're used to quoting from, who was one of the Gedolei HaPoskim in Bnei Brak. This is the Oz Nidbru from a Yarchin from Vizhnitz. Okay? One of the Vizhnitz Kehillos put it together. And he asks his Shaila, he wants to know, for who noig la'oma ba'arvis kemineg Ashkenaz? You're a Yudav in Nusach Ashkenaz, and you find yourself in Nusach Svad Minyan. He talks about even more complex shayla. There are different communities that used to say L'davar HaShemayri, not the end of davening, after Shemoneh Esrei. We'll see later that the Lakuti Ma'arich brings down an interesting minug, that some people would say L'davar HaShemayri either during Psicha, when they used to take out the Sefer Torah, or right after Shemoneh Esrei. We'll see why in a minute. So what happens, are you mechuyev to follow their minug? So he quotes from this Rav Meir and Moshe Gross, who taina is that he has a right from a tshuva from Rav Moshe. What is right from a tshuva from Rav Moshe? Rav Moshe has a tshuva, which is very negate to those people davening in Nusach Sfar Mincha. Rav Moshe held, v'emhu b'makim shein oimim vidui, let's say you don't say you'd give midas in the afternoon. Whatever reason, Hashamnu, you don't do it. And there's probably a compelling argument because I think most of the people who say it don't really say it and they just kind of do the motions and by the time they finish, I'm not sure what they did. The vidui is very rushed. It's a chosh of a vidui, but I'm not sure if people say it slowly. But let's say you don't say vidui during the day. You don't say it. And you find yourself in a Nusach Sfad Minyan. What are you supposed to say? Moshe writes in the Tshuva, he's supposed to say it with them. It's important tshuva for those that don't know this. If you find yourself in a Nusach Sfar Minyan, you gotta go, you gotta do the procedure with them. So Taina, this Rav, who are then over here? Same Rav Moshe held that you have to follow the Minyan HaMakom, you gotta follow the Minyan HaMakom. They say L'dovid, you say L'dovid. They don't say L'dovid, you don't say L'dovid. That was this fellow's Taina. So in the Sefer Divrei Moshe, Rav Moshe Halberstam, who we'll talk about later, he wrote two famous tshuvas in the Sefer Divrei Moshe, both about L'davar HaShemayri. One is about the history behind it, and one is the halacha behind it. It's interesting to note, we'll talk more about this later, Blinader, Rav Moshe Halberstam, that's his name, so he's a descendant of the Sanza Rebbe, he's a Sanza Enikol. We'll see why that's important in a few minutes. So he writes, he disagrees with this raya from Rav Moshe's tshuva, he thinks there's nothing doing. He says, what are you talking about? In number 12, he writes, L'davar HaShemayri, Daiti Nir D'yesh L'chalak B'zeh. Why? The Shani Hasam Divya going Balgus Moshe Day Bidovish Olovel de Machlaikis. Ramosha's case is something which is open and noticeable and recognizable. And it can easily lead to argument. Hey, why are you not doing your Gimelmidas? So therefore, Zakhtar of Moshe in such a scenario, then you gotta follow the Minhag HaMakom. Anytime people can tell it's recognizable, you're doing different than everyone else. Therefore, Zakhtar Moshe, that's a problem. So Zakhtar Moshe Halberstam, Omiyat, Hechashin, Hadovnik, Klaal, Mishaneu, Menag of Exeknesses, if no one can really tell, L'davar HaShemayri, half the people already left and everyone's on their way out. You think people could tell if you're saying it? You're not saying it, no one could tell. So Zakhtar Moshe Halberstam, the man told you, who can really tell if you're saying L'davar HaShemayri? The man told you, he thinks even Rav Moshe Feinstein would agree in that case, it's not a problem. And he says, I'll bring you a raya. Because Rav Moshe has his other tshuva, we discussed his davening different nuschais. There Rav Moshe paskens, as long as anything done quietly, is a free-for-all, you can do whatever you want. Why? Because according to Rav Moshe, the concern was people noticing and leading to machlaikis. So something private, quietly, he thinks is not a problem. So therefore, he concludes at the end of the tshuva. If you look on the left side, he writes, "V'hela mikolam ur d'benida d'don l'shay chazara d'loisis kaidu." He thinks there's no issue of loisis kaidu. The shabbi is nai kolecha kemin hagay b'inyan amir l'davar HaShemayri. Everyone could do whatever they want. Follow your own minug. Then he brings a raya from an interesting Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan says that let's say you want to do your own way of the nanuim. In Sukkot, there's a lot of different minhagim, how to wave the lulav. So Rosh Hashanah says, you can do whatever you want, and it's no problem of lois iskoy to do. So Zaktim, same thing here also. At the same time, Rosh Hashanah says, the waving is no problem, here also no problem. Right, it's a bit, so Kol Shekin. He's saying Kol Shekin, it's okay. Right, that's, yeah, so here's a right for Mr. Blinat, maybe Sukkot's time we can talk about it. That at the end, if you look at the right side, he concludes the tshuva, he writes, Im Kain, Kol Shekin beneath the dun, the yachah, kol echa, lasis, kimin hagoy, everyone can do whatever they want, the aim is Ebisham loisis kaidu, v'hanach lam Yisrael, this night, kol echa, kedaki avoisav, let everyone do what their father does, v'nanar poshti, v'la v'la, shechav, and libishim shemayim, everyone have the right intention. So he seems to not be too concerned about the whole shebang, he thinks you can do whatever you want. If you look at number 14, the Sefer Isha Yisrael, they quote from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. It's not found in Halicha Shlomo, it's found in Mayadei, a different Sefer from Shlomo Zalman, Shalmei Mayad. I didn't have it on my Yitzchak Chacham, but I saw the Sefer inside, where he quotes Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman disagreed. He writes that the that the Pesham Mezalman held with what they wanted to be medayik from Rav Moshe, that you always have to do the Minhag HaMakom, which means in theory you can come out, you'll say L'davar Hashem every three times. Okay, not the end of the world, it's a nice kapitel to Tehillim, but according to that, that's what should come out. However, they quote over here from Rav Eliashiv, that Rav Eliashiv disagreed. Rav Eliashiv held, She'in tzorich lo'im L'davar Hashem ayim ha'kahol, you don't have to go with the Minhag V'yayim ha'kolecha k'fi minhagoy, like the Divrei Moshe wanted to come out with, and you could do whatever you want. So that's one of the more common shailas that you get with regard to L'davar Hashem ayim.
I mentioned this earlier, but I think I once heard that there's a certain amount of times that you're supposed to say it from Rosh Hashanah, Tishmini, etc. And therefore, if you say it extra, you don't.
So we're going to see in a second, there's a tshuva from the Divrei Malkiel, where he discusses a concept of you make a tashlumen on the Davar HaShemayri. You have to make it. If you missed it by Shachar, you got to make it up by Mincha. You missed it by Mincha, you got to make it up by Ma'ariv. That might be some idea that there's a certain amount of time you're supposed to say it. It might be totally why we say the Davar HaShemayri in the first place, which we'll try to talk about a little later tonight as well. So they quote over in this same Oz Nidbura, I couldn't get the Shazam Shuvah Divrei Malkiel, I didn't have the right chelek. So he clears the following Shaila. You have a group of people who forgot to say it by Mincha, whatever the reason is. Is there a din tashlumen that they have to say it by Ma'ariv? Now again, we're talking about Nesach Svat people, so they normally don't say it by Ma'ariv. To them, it's Shachos and Mincha. Is there a concept of tashlumen? So he writes it this, we don't do it by Ma'ariv. And he comes up with a novel reason why you shouldn't say it at night. We mentioned earlier, you don't want to say Tehillim at night. He has a different shot. He says it's based on the Gemara, that what? It says over here, Dihine Masha'oimim Zeba Allah Shmini Atzeres, Ubishul Amedrish, that says Yeshua al Yom Hadin Shaboim Lilmot Chayv al Yisrael. Somehow this has to do with din. This kapitel Tehillim is supposed to save us from judgment. So he says judgment. V'isab Rosh Hashanah Shalamala Yesh Din B'Yom V'Leilah. K'mayi Bezin Shalmat. We know that all courts are closed during nighttime. That's not a time of Bezin dance things. So he says the same way that the courts in this world are closed. So Bezin Shalmala doesn't dance at night. Oh, so at nighttime is not a time for din. So it's not a time to say Davar HaShemayri either. That's a new svara. Shalemala yesh dim yem v'blaylu k'moy b'lila bezin shalmata. Umatzinu b'sanhedrin shebezin hoyeshim ad achat tamid shal ben arba'im. Bezin used to be open until tamid shal ben arba'im. Ulezeh hanoigim l'omer b'mincha. So that's why people say by mincha. Svila l'omer b'tchilas adin or b'soif z'man adin. You'd say it in the morning. That's when court opened. You'd say it by mincha. That's when court closed. Nighttime, court's closed. Bezin shalmala is closed. Not yem din. There's no reason to say it. V'omer b'arvis near tamim shum sheish medina she'etzlam yoyim b'shosh etzlam olayla. This is always the chap. So why do some people say it at night? Because, well, whose system do we go by? Do we go by Eretz Yisrael? And by Eretz Yisrael, or someplace in the world, it might be daytime. That's what we'll talk about B'nedim when we get to Slichas after Chatzais, that some people want to tie in a well. Maybe you don't work with New York time, you work with Israeli time. So at Israeli time, 10 o'clock Matzah Shabbos, is already after Chatzais, so you're okay. So he also is making this argument that whose clock do we work with? You would have assumed you work with your own clock, wherever you live. So he writes, V'sarach lo'imid ha'kol tolik kifishu b'Yushalayim. He thinks it goes by Israeli time, whatever time it is in Eretz Yisrael. V'imkein yesh b'shar medinas b'cholayla eze eishu yoyim b'Yushalayim, l'zeh kfu lo'im b'gam b'arbis. Akoponim, he writes, Etzlam shetofsu lo'im b'saves man adin, ain't tzarech lo'im b'layla, to'oz la'az man adin u'kifidu min hagam. With their klal ein l'hakwe yanam ke'elu, he basically says, do whatever you want.
What's that mean to do it like Eretz?
I'm not really sure. Same reason why I'm not sure why Slicha should calculate that way. Like some Achrayim want to say you calculate Zman Toiv and Zman Ra based on, I don't know. We'll have to, Plinedr next week, we're going to have to tackle that big issue. Yeah, but Ephraim Greenblatt quotes a tshuva about this also, where he tying is there's no concept of Tashlum. Why? Why? Because I didn't shichel Tashlum Mishaych Rakhli in Tefillah. There's a concept of Tashlum on a Tefillah, on Shemin Esrei. V'loyle in Shared Vorm. There's no concept of Tashlum on other things. You could, but he thinks there's no such concept. But he says, he thinks he could say it. Yeah, I think we all agree. It doesn't hurt to say it. It's a nice kapitel to tell him. Nothing is affected. Shmuel Kamenetsky holds, he thinks there is no makeup after mincha. Definitely no makeup. I marry if he doesn't believe this whole concept of makeup. You missed it, you move on, nothing to talk about. Another shayla halacha, you know, we dug deep to try to come up with as much halachic shayla as we could find for the Davar HaShemayri. An interesting halachic shayla comes up more in Eretz Yisrael, is in Eretz Yisrael is a minig that you end off the tefillah with a baruch, the baruch basra, the final baruch. So the shayla that Achrayim dealt with is, where does the David work its way in? So in Archas Rabbeinu, they quote over here from Chaim Kanievsky that he quotes from his uncle the Chazon Ish, who held a Hayu Eloyim Baruch Hu Basra Acher Amiris Mizmal David Hashemayri. That last Baruch Hu would be after the David Hashemayri. Why? Hey Mishachos Hey Mimayri. But time of Mishum Shabarcha Take Nu Mishum Hamachrim. So to Chazon Ish, let's be logical. Why do we have that Baruch? That Baruch is for the people who came late. So you want to give those latecomers the most time to show up late. If you're going to do it first and then have the David, it's like I can walk in. The later you delay, the better. So whatever else you can get to, and then you'll make the Baruch Hu at the end. That was the opinion of the Chazon Ish. Others quote people who disagree. They tie it, maybe not. If you look at number 20, they quote Shemin Haroi Lahaktim Amir's Baruch Hu Basra. Maybe Baruch Hu should go first. Okay, that's a shiloh of what to do. The Debetzina Rav and Be'er Moshe has an interesting argument where he talks about on Shabbos. What happens in those shuls on Shabbos who say the Shir Shal Yoyim? Anam Zemiris. When does the David Hashem Ayri come then? Because what's the Seder Ayyim? You have, they say Aleinu, then they say Anim Zemiris, and then they get to the Yoyim. I think that's the way it goes, right?
Yeah.
So the question is, so where does the David work its way in? That was the Shaila that the Debrit Zinarov discussed. So he makes an argument. He wants to tell in Machlokes Achreinim to the Noidi Behud and Ashag Asayah. How complicated is the Koteira? But he wants to tell in this number 21. He says, Lefi Divi Ashag Asayah, Shir HaKovid Legabadar Hashem Ayu Shu Mizma Tehillim Ki Rishus Domi. He holds it's considered Rishus. V'yachol Leimah V'tchil Masharetz. You can do whatever you want. Ulam. La Noidi Behuda. There's a sheet of the Noidi Behuda. V'vadi Yesh Lahakti Amiras Dar Hashem Ayu. Shu Mekudish. Do a Muzma B'sefer Tehillim. He tells that the Dara Shemayri takes precedence, Tehillim. So Tehillim beats an Anam Zemiris, so it should go first. Even though you have the rule, Tad V'Shein Tad, the Anam Zemiris is clearly more Tadir, nonetheless, because it's Tehillim, it should beat it out. Uluchain, Paskin is a big Chiddush. But Mokim Shadayin in Minog, if you have a shul that's starting fresh, no Minhagim, Yoyser Toiv Lahaktim, the Dara Shemayri Lefnei Shira Kovit. He thinks the Takish do it that way. I'm unaware of any shul who does it that way, but he thinks that's really the right way. He says, "Ula b'makom shikar nogl oma tihila tchila shir hakavir achkach mizbal dar shemayri like the shagasaya." It's okay. He thinks it's allowed. Avol gam the shagasaya yoyistev laktim dar shemayri. Again, I have not come across too many shuls to do it this way, but he thinks that's the proper way of doing it. He thinks the dar shemayri should come before the shir shayim. Okay, that's the most I could dig up with the halachal ma'is of the dar shemayri. So now we got to get into the controversial part, okay? What's the controversy behind the David Hashemayri? So the first part of the controversy is, why do we say it? It's a beautiful piece of Tehillim. It has nothing to do with anything. Again, you hold like the Medrash because Ayu is Rosh Hashanah and Yishi is Yom Kippur. That's a bit of a stretch. Is there more of a compelling reason to say this tefillah? So if you look at number 2 in the Purim Yofis from the Haflo and Pashas Achri Mois, he comes up with a nice pshat. He writes, V'hinei nogu lo'imem min Rosh Chedesh el ad la'chasukis mizmach of Zayin. We say this capital. V'shemati hatam. So I heard the reason is neishishmi yud gimel shemus. As shem Hashem 13 times. Kenegid yud gimel midas. Kenegid yud gimel midas. Very, very appropriate. Very important. And that's why the minhag is to say it during this time. Okay. Very nice pshat. Beautiful. That's why we say it. If you look in the sefer over here of Sheiris Menachem, Shtikl Babich's sefer, he tells an interesting pshat. He says, Tam Amir capital David Shemayri b'chodesh Elul v'Tishrei al pi pirush aparim yafas same parim a different parim yafas from Nafla who says it says in the pasuk Acha she'alti mi'eis Hashem oisa avak yishivti mi'eis Hashem kol yimechayev, right? That's the famous pasuk that everyone talks about. So he says lefi Gemara tanis daf chofei the mishmaya tati le'avdi. You can't ask for two things. You gotta ask for one. Umishamach kish adam shayel tzrachav yesh behabev akashis. Person comes to Kosh Baruch, he wants a lot of things. He wants bini, chayim, zoini. We want to have health, and our kids should be good kids, and we should have parnasa. We want a lot of things. So he can't do that. Ukedeim im kabanasa b'chozel leman shiyele harvachas hadas la'avis Hashem Yisbarach ozei kulum akash achas. However, if you can justify that, it's only really one thing. Hashem, I'm asking to just have an easy life. That's what I'm asking for. And obviously, an easy life means my kids are good, and everyone's healthy, and I have money. But I'm really asking one thing. So he says, that's the pshat. That's why we say in this capital, what we're trying to do is we're trying to say, Hashem, I'm really only asking you for one thing. I want to be able to be shifted with Hashem. I want to be able to serve you. Obviously, I can't serve you if I don't have food, and I can't be a good Jew if I don't have a house to live in, and if Chas V'Shalom people are sick, I can't serve you, and I don't have a job. So I'm asking really for one thing, and all that's inclusive. So the reason why we say this capital, because this capital gives us the ability to be able to lump together all our requests and make it one request. Okay. If you look at number 24, the Gevurah Yitzchak Bisa Tziratzka, that's a slightly different shot. He tainted because Ayubi really refers to Torah. Or is the Arshal Torah. So he writes over here a powerful pshat. He says over here that kama chavivim him divrei Torah, kama chavivim oisim shayiskim b'Torah. Thank Hashem Baruch Hu. How beloved is those who learn Torah? How beloved is the Torah? Kama shayiskim b'Torah in mafachim mazikiy oilam nishmu lemalah nishmu lemata. Person learns Torah, he's protected. Ulefi amuva hari osi shabalom oim davka mizmerzeh. Now we understand why we say this kapitel. The gam oim oisim be'elo yom v'shchedish adim kipurim. Ulefi amuva hanach abam yom v'shchedish el adim kipurim. Having made tshuva, because this is the time of tshuva. Va'aderech letshuva idei yisik v'limud haTorah. Because the way, the path to tshuva is to learn Torah. So therefore, we pick a kapitel to Hillel that talks about Ayri, which is Torah, for a time of year where it's very appropriate to do tshuva, and the best vehicle is through Torah. Okay, there's many other pshatim. It's about Turim. There's some other pshatim to why this kapitel is said. I always thought my own pshat, the reason why this kapitel is said during this time of the year, if you read through the kapitel to Hillel, and I urge everyone to do so, I think it's a good idea, the theme of the kapitel is relationship. The whole theme is a relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? We say, Azavuri, my parents forsake me, you took me in. It's all about building a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the yisoid of Chodesh El Yom Neroim. It's building a relationship. Once a person realizes and internalizes a relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Rosh Hashanah is a different experience, Tshuva is a different experience, Yom Kippur, it's a whole different attitude that there's a real person, there's a real entity over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I hurt, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us. It's a whole different experience. So this kapitel of Hashemer is to put us in that mindset that there's a real meaningful, powerful relationship that takes place between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why we recite this kapitel. However, now we get to the controversial part, is many people didn't say this kapitel. And the question is why. So if you look at number 25, the Vilna Gaon, in Ma'aseh Rav LeGra, the Vilna Gaon didn't say it. Gamrish Chodesh El Adim Kippurim Ein Oimim Kapitel Chavzayim. You see, again, we keep on mentioning, a lot of people keep saying Tel Yom Kippur. There was definitely a minhag to only say it up Tel Yom Kippur. So the Vilna Gaon didn't say L'davar HaShemayim. Okay, not so controversial. The Vilna Gaon didn't do a lot of things. Right? The Vilna Gaon was the Vilna Gaon. Why did the Vilna Gaon say L'davar HaShemayim? So one of the pshat that my photocopied is what? The time of near Mishum Tircha the Tzibura. Why should you say it? It's not brought down anywhere. It's not in Gemara. It's not in Mishayim. So why waste everyone's time and make davening extra long? So the Vilna Gaon didn't say it.
Didn't he hold that he should only say one
kapitel
of anything?
That's also true. The Vilna Gaon held on, let's say, Rish Chodesh. He didn't say the Yom and Baruch Hanafshi. It only can be one Shir Shal Yom. But again, but this is what we keep on saying, like if Yaakov, this is not Shir Shal Yom, this is Tehillim. I'm sure the Vilna Gaon would say Tehillim in a shul if someone was sick, right? So the Vilna Gaon held that this doesn't become part of a davening. I photocopy over here, number 27, from Yerush HaSeinu, which is some of the Minhagi Ashkenaz, or we'll call Yekisha Minhagim. Ain Aim L'davar HaShemayi Rachat Filas. Yakis don't say L'davar HaShemayi. So we have the Goyin who doesn't say it, some Yakis, and then we'll see some Chassidim don't. What exactly is the Tzad HaShav between the three of them that we have to figure out? If you look over here, number 27, most of Chassidish communities do say it. Nispashet Berev Kielas HaChassidim, Karlin, Chabad, Chernobyl, what are the other names? Breslov, Belz, Vizhnitz, all the big chassidus that we know of, they basically all say it. However, as we'll see later, there are two or three major chassidus that don't say it. And the question is, why did they not say it while everyone else did say it? If you look over here on the third page in Lakuti Marich, he brings out an interesting minhag which makes a lot of sense actually. He writes, V'yesh mikayim mishayimim oisei achat tfilas yotches. There was a minhag to say L'davar HaShemayim not after davening, after Shemone Esrei. Why? Before the Chatzi Kaddish. Meaning right after Tachanun. The Efsher HaKavon Alpi Mashikos Reb Shapsi, while Reb Shapsi was one of the Talmidim of the Arizal, later Talmud of the Arizal, who says, Shemizmer Hazu Yeshba HaKavonish Ayid Gimel Midas. Similar to what we saw earlier. What's the special about this capital? Because it's supposed to be connected to Yid Gimel Midas. Lukein Yelkach Yeshba Yid Gimel Shemus, Havayas 13 Shemus of Hashem. Lukach Oyim Oysim Meir Shchedish El, that's why we say it. Therefore, Lukach Yeshaychas Lemizmer Hazu Achat Tilos Et Ches. Therefore, it has a shtickle shaychas to Shemana Esrei. Kama sha'anim b'chol ha'shanei et gimel midas achat filas for Shchedesh. Just like all year long we say et gimel midas after Shemana Esrei, so here also we should put in the L'davar HaShemayim at the same time. Then he brings another minhag. V'yesh noigim lo'imrei b'yayim kriyas atay v'psichas ha'arim. There was a minhag that used to say during psicha. Why? The Efshid Gamza Hakavon Hanal, same pshat. The Gimish Nichol Bahid Gimomidas, Yeshlamakal Ame Psichas Aaron. Just like we know when we take out the Aaron and Yomtif, we say Yid Gimomidas. So here also, we take out the Aaron, we say it Yid Gimomidas. I'm not aware of any shuls who do this, but there is such a meaning and it makes a lot of sense. If you look over in number 29, in the Balatanya, again, the Balatanya also was printed mid-1800s. The Balatanya also brings down this minig, and he writes to say it, Beshachris Ubimincha. This is the way he writes it. Min Rosh Chodesh El Ad Achar Hashana Rabbah. It says after Hashana Rabbah, not after Simchas Torah. Achar Shir Shal Yoyim. He say it after the Yoyim. Ube Mincha Koidim Aleinu. And by Mincha he'd say it before Aleinu. Interesting. Not the way we have it. He said before Elaine. Then they bring down from the Chida again. Chida was also 8th. Chida was a little earlier, late 1700s, early 1800s. The Chida also brings down a minig. He writes that if you say it the whole year, it's also good. There are Svaidim who say the Derech Shemeri every day, the whole year. It's a beautiful kapitatel, why not say it? But he writes, Latzlochu l'shmira. It's a skula. Everyone loves that. Latzlochu l'shmira. Yema mizma l'Derech Shemeri achar kol tefila shachris mincha arvis. Meishchedish el ad motzim kippur. Seems like the minhag was to say three times a day till Yom Kippur, then take a break. I think v'chein b'shana rabba means only on Hashanah Rabbah, not in between those days, only on Hashanah Rabbah. Okay, so let's get to the controversy. What's the controversy? Is that the Sanzer Rebbe, the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer Rebbe, the great Sanzer Rebbe, did not say l'davar Shemayri. Okay, now the Sanzer Rebbe died in 1876. So he was around the same time as everyone we mentioned earlier. Around the Mount Ephraim, around the Kitzur Shorach, around that same time. Why did the Divrei Chaim, the great Sanzer Rebbe, not say it? It's not just him, it was also the Rav Shitzer Rebbe, who was his Rebbe, the Naftali Rav Shitz. He also didn't say Davar HaShemayri. What's this resistance to Davar HaShemayri? So the way they quoted it in one place is that the Sanzer Rebbe didn't say it. Why? Ki lo nimtza b'zeh b'ksavim b'kavanas Arizal. It wasn't brought down by the Arizal. If it's not brought down by the Arizal, it doesn't make the cut, we don't say it. Very simple, no controversy. It wasn't brought down by that reason. Now, there's a lot of things that are not brought down by that reason that we do or don't do. The bigger problem is that many, this minhag is brought down by many Talmidei Arizal. And we'll see in a minute who they are. So there might be some root in Arizal as well. The Divrei Moshe, Moshe Halberstam, who is an enikel from the Sanzer Rebbe, he says he has a Kabbalah in the family why they didn't say it. And this is where it gets good. He writes over here, number 32. He writes, Yodua bevadoi sherabenu akadish mar hagoy lachayzim lublin loy amra. The chayzim lublin didn't say it. V'chein talmidav hakadoshim ayhudim akadish rabenu zirichoyv. The rabshits, they also didn't say it. And the rabshits also made a shahakal on potatoes. And that's the famous also psak from the rabshits. The rabshits and the sons of Rebbe all held, you make a shahakal on potato. And that's why they didn't use karpas, potatoes, because you make a shahakal, you can't use it for karpas. Someone told me that in Sulitz, so the Sulitz Rebbe, every time they ask him what bracha to make a potato kugel, so I don't know what the shail is. You make a shakal on potatoes all the time. He mamish paskins that way. He mamish paskins like the Rav Shitzer, that you make a shakal on potatoes. Okay, that's not so posh. And why?
He doesn't go from
the ground? That's a shail is why. The best of the two pshat had to do with the fact that there's a shita Rishayim quoted by Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachas, that any food, even if it's not from the Chameshis Mini Dogon, you make a mezonos on as long as it fills you up. So they tend like this. Potatoes, be'etzim fill you up. It's one of those filling foods. So really, according to the Rosh Hashem, you should make a mezainus. But because we're not sure, so we're not going to make a mezainus, we'll go the shahakal route. So they make a shahakal because they're not sure. No, they're not sure if you could be semech on that Rabbeinu Yoina. They think you can fill it. It's filling. That's the argument they make. But that's the famous sheet of the Rapshit. So the Rapshit didn't say it. And he quotes a bunch of people who didn't say it. Now, why? Why didn't they say it? So the Divrei Moshe says he has a Besair in the family. If you look at 32, he says, Baram, Kublani be Beis Avoisa. I have a Kabbalah in the family. It comes from a very controversial Sefer called Chemdas Hayom. Ashiyesh Oilov Oirin Kiyadua. There's a lot of people that are very against it. That's why the Sanz Rebbe didn't say it. Okay, so now we got a controversy on our hands. It's controversial because it comes from the Sefer Chemdas Hayom. Who wrote the Sefer Chemdas Hayom? No one knows. So how could it be so controversial? We don't know who wrote it, right? What's in it that's so controversial? So if you look at 33, I photocopied the Chemdas Hayom. This is what the Chemdas Hayom writes. Line 2. V'anoichi nehakti gam b'mizmach of zayin l'dav l'shem ayri v'yishi. I myself had a minog to say l'dav l'shem ayri. Sheniske b'chol echem ehem sholosh esri midas. He's got the right pshat because it has the 13 shemas of Hashem. You say in the beginning of the day, so let's just try to see if this is correct. If you assume like the Divrei Moshe, Moshe Halberstam is correct, so the argument that many Achrenim make is, first of all, that's not the minhag we do. That can't be the source. First of all, he writes, that's my minhag. He doesn't say everyone should do it. That's what he did. Secondly, the way he does is not the way we do it. The way we do it is we don't say it by slichas. We say it at the end of davening. So if the whole minhag was sourced from this Chemdas Hayamim, so then we got something wrong. We didn't follow the minhag. So there were many achrenim in time that can't be the pshat. It can't be that we got it from the Chemdas Hayamim. Now, What's the controversy behind Chemdas Yomim? So the Sefer Chemdas Yomim was first printed in the year 1731. That's when it was printed. Who wrote it? We don't know. So why is it controversial? The reason why it's controversial, because many people felt that it was written by a famous Yid called Nasan Hagaza, or Nathan the Prophet. Who was he? He was the mouthpiece of the Shabtai Tzvi. This Nasan Hagaza from Gaza was a Talmud Chochma, a knowledgeable fellow, but he got caught up in Shabtai Tzvi movement, like many people did. And he was the Navi. He used to go around telling everyone that this is what's going to happen, and he and her, and all those good things. So they tell you that he was the Ron who wrote the Sefer. He's Treif, so the Sefer is Treif. So you can't take any Minhagim from a Treif for Sefer. The problem with that is, first of all, as we just mentioned, this is not the Mekar HaMinik. And secondly, believe it or not, there are some Gedolim that held it's not such a Treif for Sefer. There are some Gedolim that held it's a Chosh for Sefer. It's not a Treif for Sefer. It wasn't written by him, written by someone else. Or others say that people put in stuff that was written by him, but the bulk of the Sefer was written by someone else. Okay, so that can't be the reason why they didn't say it. The reason why that can't be the source is because there's an earlier source for this minhag. If you look at number 34, there's a sefer called Shem Tov Katan, written by a yid named Rabbi Yom Benish. Rabbi Yom Benish wrote this sefer in 1701. 1701 was before 1731. So if so, so he comes before the sefer Chemdas Yomim. So he's the source. And if you look at the way he writes it, it's much more in line with the way we do. He writes, Halachosoid gadol kolayim mizmo azem reshchedish el arachas simchas tayro v'afilu gzeirok suva al adam in eshemayim. Even if the worst gzeiro was on a person, yichol levat lo yomavat me'elav, you can get rid of it. Kol gzeiro is rois v'kashis. Very, very promising Haftacha from Rabbi Yom Benish. He says, "V'tzarich lizor ma'oid ma'oid." Be very careful. Shiyem is a hamizmor erev uboiker. This is the way we do it. Erev uboiker. Tvar yom biyom every day. Meishchedish elul arachas simchas teira. Also muftach shiyotzi shnoisa v'yomov. His years and days will be good. V'yarev lo v'yachnias akomine. This is why I think that it became so popular, because it's a school. It gives you such a beautiful haftacha. Who wouldn't want to say such a, who wouldn't take the 3 seconds or 12 seconds it says to say it if you have such a haftacha? So this is why it became so widely spread. So the Achrayim point out, something's wrong. This is not the Chemdas Yomim's version is not the version we have. This is much more in line with our version. This was written by a reputable Yid, and therefore there's no reason why these people didn't say it. That's the argument that many people make. Now, it's even more so is that other Svarim bring down this minug still before Chemdas Yomim was printed. If you look in the bottom, number 37, in another Sefer called Sefer Zechira also brings down this minug, and that was printed in year Tav Samach Tes. Tav Samach Tes was a few years later, but still before the Chemdas Yomim was printed. So there is definitely sources that bring down this minug of the Darvish HaMeiri before the Chemdas Yomim was printed. Therefore, it's a very, very hard stretch to believe that the reason why this sefer isn't said is because it comes from Chemdas Yomim. Okay? So that begs the question, so why is it Sanzas don't say it? So here's already where we have a story. Okay? Showing a story. If you turn to the last page of page 4, they bring down a very interesting story. What's the story? If you empower this Eliezer, he brings down the story from Reb Shimon from Shlezigba. Who was he? He was the Mashkiach in the Lublin Yeshiva. Chosh V'yid, Bitam Chochem, Mashkiach in the Lublin Yeshiva was killed by the Nazis in 1943. So what's the story? So this is the way he says it. He writes it this: Be'ez sheba pamachas l'sanz l'beis medrashoi sheb ayuleibish misanz. He one time popped in Rabbi Ayuleib's beis medrash. Rabbi Ayuleib was a grandson of the Sanzer Rebbe. Again, the Sanzer Rebbe had 15 children from 3 wives. Okay, some of the Sanzer Rebbe's kids were from the younger ones, and some of them were from the old ones. So the Sanzer Rebbe had a grandson that was alive still. Again, this is talking sometime in the 1920s, 1930s. So what was the story? So this Reb Shimon comes into Beis Medrash and he had an agenda. What was his agenda? He saw they're not saying L'davar HaShemayri, like the Zeda, like the Zivir Chaim. I remember a few summers ago, and already in Elozman, I was in Bar Park and I had to daven mincha. So I davened in one of the Babav shuls. I don't remember which one. And I opened the Siddur. Forget they don't say L'davar. It's not even in the Siddur. It's not even in print. They don't even put it into the Siddur. Right? Because Babov is also one of the offshoots of Sanz. Right? So Babov was also an Enikol. Most of the Hasidic groups we have today all come from the Divrei Chaim. And he had 50, I think he had 8 sons. So they all come, the all last name Halberstam. That's where they all come from. They come from the Sanz Rebbe. So they didn't say it. So he asked one of the Kaila Yungalite, when they might know Lev Hashem Ayri Kam B'Sanz, why don't you say it? The Ilu B'Shinova, they do say it. Shinova was one of the Sanz Rebbe's sons. So now we got a problem. We got a breach in the family. The son's Rebbe is not saying it, but his son is saying it. That doesn't work. So in the Litvisha world, that would be no big kasha. The son disagrees with his father. That's what he wants. But in the Rebbe's family, that's not going to work. You do what the father of the Messiah. So how did the Messiah change? So this was the kasha that this Reb Shimon asked one of the Avreich. Now, the Avrich, I have no idea what he was talking about. What does the Avrich know? He shows up to the Avrich. He wasn't getting a fair. So what happens? He told him, so Reb Shimon told him, I'll tell you the pshat. What's the pshat? So he told him this. I'll tell you the story that the Baal Shem Tov said of. Okay. Now, it's a real chassidish maisa from the Baal Shem Tov. What's the maisa? So he told him the following story. That there was a yid named Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem. And this Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem was a real chosh of a yid. Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem was contemporary of the Marshal. The reason why Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem is popular to some of us is because he was the grandfather of the Chacham Tzvi. How do we know who's the grandfather of the Chacham Tzvi? Because the Chacham Tzvi has a very famous tshuva. We discuss is a goylem mitzaref l'minyan. Can you take a goylem and have him join a minyan? So you'll say, what's it negeitu? So he writes, because he says, I remember my Zayda made a goylem. And my Zayda had to kill the goylem because the goylem was out of control. He wasn't behaving, so he had to kill him. And the Chacham Tzvi writes a whole tshuva to which Rabbi Yaakov Emden, his son, writes another follow-up tshuva in his Shailos and Tshuva Sefer, discussing this shaila whether or not a goylem is mustar flamin. Because part of his argument is, if a goylem is mustar flamin, why would you kill him? He's a useful member of society. How many shuls will die for an extra guy to pull out of the closet and be able to make him a minion? Right? It'll be great. All these minyanim that are begging for people, waiting on the corners of people, you keep them in the closet, you keep them upstairs, and you bring them down. You have a minion. So that's the shaila that the Chacham Tzvi chooses. This is brought down in Berhetiv. All kidding aside, this Chacham Tzvi's tshuva is brought down. So he made a goylem. Unlike the Maral's goylem, who never existed, I know this comes as a shock to people, the Maral never made a goylem. He did a lot of great things in his life. Making a goylem, he didn't do. But Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem made a goylem. Fine. So Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem lived in the town of Chelm, which was in Poland. So what's the story over here? Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem was a very chashev yid. He was a big Baal Kabbalah. And he was a reputable yid. So what's the story? So the story goes like this. That there was at that time, the Polish king was unable to have children. And he made a gzeira. He said, Jews, if I don't have a kid within 12 months, I'm kicking you all out of the country. You're all gone. Fine. So what happened? So Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem decided he was going to try to... So he made a promise to the king. I guarantee you within 12 months you're going to have a baby. That's a big promise to make before the science that we have today, technology, medicine. That's pretty hard to do. So what happened? Again, I'm reading the story. Not that I understand all of it. So the way the story goes is that what did he do? So the way the Baal Shem Tov said all the story, Rabbi Yoel was nervous, how was he going to accomplish this? Shekodem holach litzara kedusha. First he went to talk to the tzara kedusha. I guess we'll call that the good malachim. V'loi poel, they couldn't help him. V'yachkach litzara tumah. Then he went to the bad malachim. V'loi poel, they couldn't help. Ad shepoel al zois im asitra achra ba'atzmoi. He had to go talk to the sitra achra himself. The devil himself, as we'd say. Right? That's how he spoke to him. And the story goes that the Sitra Achra helped him, and lo and behold, the king had a kid, and the Jews were not expelled from Poland. Okay, so what does that do with us? So the way the Baal Shem Tov ends off the story is that this was a big taina on Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem. He got a big punishment for this. This was incorrect. That's not the way you go about dealing with things. You don't talk to the Sitra Achra, you don't talk, that was a punishment. So what was his punishment? So the way it goes is, the punishment was that he had two takonas, two things that Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem instituted in Klal Yisrael. One was to say Lodav Shomeri, and the other was to say Kigavna. This very thing that Nosach Sfarad says Friday night. So the punishment was that one of his two tefillahs were going to be lost. Instead of losing both tefillahs, he only lost one of them. So the way it goes is that each chassidish group did one or didn't do the other. So the teretz is, so what was the teretz to the kasha? Why is Shinova not? Because in Shinova, they'd say Ladavid, but they wouldn't say Kigavna. In Sanz, they would say Kigavna and not Ladavid. So the answer was that as a punishment to Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem, he had to lose one of his tefillahs, but instead of making it so severe, he didn't lose it completely. It was some communities did, some communities didn't. So therefore, the teretz that he gave is the reason why in Shinova they did it and they didn't do it in Sanz was this cheshb. So if you accept this whole story, so then there's two interesting things that come out. First of all, if that's the case, and the minig of saying Ladav Shamayri didn't start in the 1700s, it started at the end of the 1500s from the old Baal Shem. Secondly, if this is true, so then you have to go to every Sansa Shul and make sure it works out. You have to make sure that they're either saying Ladavid and not saying Kigavna, or saying Kigavna and not saying Ladavid. They have to make sure it works out with the storyline. But that's the way they set it up. At least the legacy behind it, Lefizeh, it didn't start with the Mat Ephraim, it didn't start with Rabbi Yom Ben Ishkain, it started with the Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem in the late 1500s, and he was the miyasid of this minig of the David Hashem.